I remember many years ago, one of my brother priests was telling the story that he wanted to make a contribution to a charity. So he went to their website where he could make an online donation. But it was only after he clicked send that he realized that he put an extra zero in the amount. He said the first question he asked himself was, is this going to clear my bank? But his second question, as he reflected, was, do I get credit from God for this gift, even though it wasn't the gift that I intended to give? Would my credit have been different if I had generously chosen this gift instead of giving it on accident? Well, it speaks to the reality of freedom. Our freedom to choose what is good or to choose what is evil. Freedom is perhaps one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us. So first, we need to thank God for the gift of freedom. And I don't mean the word freedom like free to live in the United States. I mean a moral freedom to choose. That was the point of the first reading from Sirach. God doesn't force us to follow the commandments, and God doesn't force us to sin. You know, people will say to me, well, if God loved us, why doesn't he take away all those bad things that people do? Well, he doesn't take away those things precisely because he loves us. If he took away all of our free will, we couldn't choose to love. We couldn't choose God. We couldn't choose anything. We'd be robots, not humans. And so God gave us freedom. But there's an interesting irony in that freedom. The more that I choose what is good, the freer that I become. But the more that I choose what is evil, the less free I become. You'd think it would be the other way around, right? So let's consider our choice of the good and our choice of the evil. First, let's consider freedom for the good. If I do something good out of my freedom, well, then I have more merit for that. It's something more virtuous. I mean, if it's pure obligation, I mean, what credit do I get for that? So, for example, today we're happy to have a whole group of servers who are with us, many of you who marked it on your stewardship form in November. Beginning your service here at the cathedral as servers. Thank you for that. So how about an example? If you were to serve at a funeral mass on a Tuesday morning during the school day, I mean, I'm grateful for that. It's a great help. But truth be told, you might have done it because your teacher told you that it was your turn. Maybe got out of school for a little bit. But when you choose or offer to serve on a Saturday morning, when you could have been doing anything else you wanted, now there's a particular goodness that comes from that free choice that you made. That's why there's a particular goodness and importance when a young man or a young woman is living away from home for the first time, maybe at college or on his own, and they themselves make the choice to get up, get ready, and go to Mass every Sunday. I mean, it was their obligation either way. But there's a goodness that accompanies a free choice. I mean, the same could be said for calling your grandmother on her birthday, and shoveling your neighbor's snow, or putting your money in the collection basket today. I mean, something good comes from doing it by obligation. But something incredible comes from choosing to do it. And the irony, like I said, is that the more I choose the good, the freer I become. I mean, you'd think it would be the other way around, right? If I say you can't do that and you can't do that and you have to do that, that sounds like less freedom. But it's kind of like playing the piano. If I say that you're free to hit any note you want, well, yeah, you'll make noise. You just won't make music. But if I say that you can only play these notes in this order, by limiting you to what is good, I'm freeing you to make music. That's the freedom to choose the good. But our freedom also includes a freedom to choose evil. So let's review. What are the three conditions necessary for something to be a sin? Our seventh graders from the school were just telling me this the other day. For something to be a sin, there are three conditions. It has to be wrong, I know that it's wrong, and I choose it, even though I know that it's wrong. Should we say that again? For something to be a sin, it's wrong, I know that it's wrong, and here's the thing for today, I choose it, even though I know that it's wrong. If it's not my free choice, then it's not a sin. If a young lady is forced against her will by her boyfriend to have an abortion, it was not her free choice. For her, that sin is less or even gone. Her boyfriend is another story. You know, when a fifth grader tells me, "I'm sorry, Father, that I didn't go to Mass last Sunday. We were out of town." I usually ask them, "Now, you're not old enough to drive, are you?" That was not your free choice. Your parents chose that. But again, there's another paradox here. Just as the more that I choose the good, the freer I become, so too the paradox of choosing sin is that if I'm not careful, I'll lose my freedom entirely. I mean, I can say that I'm free to choose this, but the farther I get into sin, the less free I become. That's the paradox of choosing sin. Haven't we all seen this or even experienced it ourselves? In gambling, pornography, marijuana, alcohol, even things like gossiping, shoplifting, you name it. Before I realize it, I've reached a point where I can't say no, even if I want to say no. My choice to do wrong, ironically, has led me from freedom into slavery. When that priest made a generous donation to charity, it wasn't his choice. It was an accident. He still did something very good. But true goodness comes from the choice that we make, just like true sin comes from the choice that we make. Thank God for the gift of our freedom. It allows us to love, and it allows us to live.